In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go.
Time to talk
the
movies
lobby.
Here, Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, where they have a film for everyone in the family, Stillwater Avenue in Bangor. How's the driving out there, Alan?
We were talking about this a little bit off air. I don't mind being like, you know, there's caution that needs to be had when you're out there on the road.
Yes.
But if you have people who think they're above common courtesy, it's bad enough, like in the middle of the summertime, like then it's just like, you know, the occasional horn honk and thrown middle finger or whatever. In situations like this, like somebody could get hurt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just like people blowing by you on the right and then just like hauling the wheel to the side to get into the lane they want to go into. And it's just like, come on, people. Like, you know, I know it's like 5:15 on a Monday. Like, where do you have to be?
Right.
So bless her heart, Sheridan is not nearly as affected by this sort of thing as I am. and so got us here perfectly safely with no incidents whatsoever. But I just sit there and I stew. I just get so mad at people, and it's an impotent anger, which is the worst kind. It's just like I might as well just shake my fist at the sky.
It's like Bob Marley was saying at the Hot Stove Night last week. You want to see him in a ditch?
Yeah.
You want to see him in a ditch? Like, not hurt.
Yeah,
I
don't want anyone to die. But
you
it's
want
like,
him in a ditch.
Like, I want this to cost you something.
Yes, yes. Goodness gracious. Well, enough about the weather. It's Maine. It's going to happen.
Yes.
Just prepare for the stupid, and you'll never be disappointed. let's talk movies. How many did you get to see this weekend?
Well, I saw a couple.
Good.
I saw the delightful Ferdinand.
Oh, like,
which was very sweet.
That sounds like it's going to be fun with John Cena.
Yeah, John Cena as the titular bull who you know prefers flowers to fighting. And then I saw that movie that everyone else on the planet saw.
Oh, the Star Trek movie, right?
Yes, yes. I saw one of those. I saw a Star War.
Yeah, just to piss him off. that seemed to do okay at the box office.
It did okay. Only the second highest box office weekend in cinematic history.
Well, do we start with the Bull or the Jedi?
Let's go with the Bull first. We'll deal with that. It's from the folks at Blue Sky Studios, the animation arm of 20th Century Fox, at least for the next couple of minutes until also becomes folded under the massive mouse umbrella. But for those who are unfamiliar, it's the story. It's based on the 1936 children's story, The Story of Ferdinand. About a bull who prefers smelling the flowers to fighting in the bullfight ring. And it's a very sort of sweet, modern retelling of the story. We mentioned WWE superstar John Cena voices Ferdinand. He escapes this, it's called Casa del Toro, this kind of bullfighting sort of bullfighting place. He escapes when he's young, winds up getting raised on a flower farm, because that's apparently a thing in Spain, is flower farms, before circumstances including a hilarious scene where he's literally in a china shop. It goes from he winds up back at Casa del Toro, fully grown, where he's forced to confront the bullies of his youth. There's tough talking Valiente, played by Bobby Cannavale. There's Guapo, voiced by, I swear to God, Rich, Peyton Manning.
What?
Yeah, Peyton Manning is the voice of one of these bulls. There's another one, a Scottish bull, one of the long hair ones, played by David Tennant.
Perfect.
But yeah, it's a great cast. And basically what happens is, Ferdinand finds himself. He discovers the awful truth behind bullfighting, which is there's no glory in the ring. One way or another, you're going to the chop shop, which they can literally see from where they're at, which is maybe a little more intense than I would have expected for a movie aimed at kids. But it all, you know, at the risk of spoiling things, it all more or less works out in the end. It's super sweet. It's a lot of fun. Cena. who, and I mean this with all due respect, I think he's gonna basically max out at like B plus The Rock, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I think he's gonna have a nice long sort of career ahead of him. He's shown he's got some comedic chops, and he's great in this.
And he's got some charm. He's a great presence on screen.
Yeah. Oh, he's definitely charismatic. You know what I mean? And as far as the rest of them, like, you know, Cannavale's great. Peyton Manning sucks, but you know, he's Peyton Manning. So, you know, you'd certainly buy him as a thick-headed, confused bull. But yeah, it's fun. Kids are gonna love it. And it's a lovely story with a wonderful message. And you know, sometimes a kid's movie can just be a kid's movie, and that's kind of nice.
All right, and then the newest in the Star Wars franchise that is based on the people whose comments I've seen on social media, either an abomination that dishonors the tradition or a surprisingly complex tale in what's been, while good, a fairly simple, straightforward series.
Here's the thing. I've given this a lot of thought, and you know, I'm not going to go into a whole lot of plot synopsis here because I actually made a very specific effort not to do that in my review, only because I'm not going to be the guy who spoils this for somebody. Like, I just refuse. But I've seen a very polarizing reaction to this movie, much more so than I think I've seen for any of the more recent additions to the sort of Star Wars canon. And I have a couple of thoughts about this. I think one of the big ones is this is essentially, oh, let me back up. For a lot of people who love Star Wars, their favorite is Empire. Like, The Empire Strikes Back is their favorite. It's my favorite Star Wars movie.
Me too.
You know, and it's just one of those things where it's like a lot of people have a very strong connection to that particular installment. Well, this, The Last Jedi, is essentially the Empire of the sequel trilogy. And as such, I think the real hardcore fanboys, the ones who have this sort of weird dogmatic attachment to the franchise, I think they had very, very specific ideas about how this movie was supposed to go. And Rian Johnson, who's a wildly talented filmmaker, who wrote and directed this movie, did not make the movie that the fanboys believed it needed to be. And I think that's where a lot of the anger comes from. And I get it, because that's the one for me. Like, that's like, I have a very intense, formative movie going experience with The Empire Strikes Back. It's the first movie I remember seeing. It's one of my earliest memories. Like, I saw that movie at the Bangor Drive-In over on Outer Hammond Street when I was, I don't know, 3 years old. You know what I mean? So it's like I have a real, real visceral connection to that movie. So I understand. But guys, let's let someone actually tell a new kind of story. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. And that's what Rian Johnson has done here. Make no mistake. There's a lot of really great stuff in this movie, whether we're talking about visually, it's absolutely stunning. Like, he has a wonderful aesthetic sense where he can really kind of he can make the small moments feel large and the large moments feel small with a real deftness that is just lovely to watch. He has a wonderful and very very sumptuous eye for color, and so, like, there are a lot of really beautiful and striking stage pictures that he creates. There's a wonderful sense of humor in this one that I don't think we've necessarily seen a whole lot of in previous installments, like an overt kind of humor. One that I'll admit, when I first sat down in the first few minutes and kind of heard a couple of the jokes, I'm like, oh, is this going to be too glib? Like, is that going to undermine the quote unquote seriousness of the story? And it doesn't. What it does is it provides, at the risk of making a terrible analogy, it provides the light versus the darkness of the more the more serious aspects of the narrative, and so you get some of that balance. Which, again, this is a movie that that really leans into that idea of balance, and it also leans into the idea of the possibility of failure and what failure actually means in terms of, you know, not just the, you know, the person to person sense, but in a grander scheme of things, which I think makes for much more compelling viewing than, you know, strict black and white space wizards, you know, force choking each other and having lightsaber fights. Not that I don't love force choking and lightsaber fights, because I really do. And there is some of that, which is great. And another thing, like, no disrespect to Carrie Fisher, to Harrison Ford, to Mark Hamill, two of whom are prominently featured in this. They were basically it as far as the original trilogy was concerned. There is a astonishing amount of acting talent in the cast of this movie. Whether you're talking about your leads, your Daisy Ridley as Rey, John Boyega as Finn, Oscar Isaac is great as Poe Dameron. You know, Carrie Fisher is back, obviously. You know, Domhnall Gleeson is great. Adam Driver is fantastic. Like, they're all just doing wonderful, wonderful work. And so that kind of quality of performance, I think, really elevates the conversation in a way that maybe we're not necessarily accustomed to seeing with Star Wars movies. It's so much more about the grand mythology that we kind of forget that, you know, the story still needs to be told by individuals. And speaking of that, Mark Hamill is so good in this movie, man. Like, it's unfortunate that, you know, he kind of fell off a little bit in terms of being able, you know, of being a working actor. Like, I mean, I know his voice work is, you know, legion, and he's certainly doing all right. But seeing, like, this sort of angry, like, self-loathing, like, broken take on, you know, this on Luke Skywalker, you know, it's funny, and it's such a wild comparison to make, but it was the first thing I thought of when I walked out of the movie theater. It was John Wayne as Rooster Cogburn in True Grit.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that sort of end of the line kind of guy who maybe never necessarily got the respect that he deserved. And so, like, the old gunfighter making one kind of last, like, it was really striking. And, you know, and I'm not going to go so far, because, you know, Wayne obviously won an Oscar for True Grit. I'm not going to say that Mark Hamill should win an Oscar. But if you want to have that conversation, I don't think it's out of line. Like, he's that good.
And I think it's too much of a spoiler that the lightsaber does return with Skywalker in this one, right?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. but, yeah, I mean, ultimately, I understand where the people are coming from who were maybe disappointed by this movie, but, you know, you can't allow these stories to, you know, at a stupid joke, but you can't freeze them in carbonite. Like, you have to let them grow. You have to let them evolve a little bit, because,
well, and let them become another generation's stories.
You know, Star Wars came out 40 years ago, guys. You know, you know, you have to allow it to a little bit of room to breathe, because if you trap it in amber like that, it's going to lose the impact. And yes, it's yours, but there's no reason why it can't belong to, like you said, the next generation. And so, long story short, I loved The Last Jedi. Like, I loved this movie. I'm not going to say it's top, because I don't think anything's ever going to top Empire, simply in terms of the combination of quality of movie and my personal connection to it. But yeah, it's as good as any other offering in the Star Wars canon. I firmly believe that. And I'm sure there are people out there who want to fight me, but you know what? 5 years from now, you're going to agree with me.
There you go. Alan Adams of The Main Edge passed the popcorn this afternoon. Thank you, Alan.
My pleasure.
And thanks, Sheridan, for maintaining the family's composure.
I will do so.